This is episode 109, recorded on May 17th, 2013. Peckett Pokes at, when I think about you, I stalk myself.
Do you want to stream Peckett Pokes at on your iPhone or BlackBerry? Download Stitcher free today at Stitcher.com. Stitcher Smart Radio, the smarter way to listen to radio.
You're on in 3, 2, 1.
This is Peckett Pokes at, and I'm poking at your news. Good evening, everyone. Welcome to another fine edition of Peckett Pokes at. I am your immutable and unmutable host, Peckett Sonic. And joining us tonight from the far, far East Coast is Joe Unseen.
It's a time machine, Napoleon. We bought it online.
That's why Napoleon didn't figure out water. What is it? Watergate. No, that's Water World. No, that's Water World. Whatever it is. And joining us from the far south is Crystal Says So from North Carolina.
Hey, good evening, sinners.
And loving every minute of it. Join us also tonight for his first trial by fire. No. We've never had to fire anybody, really. At least I don't put anybody's feet under the flames anyway. Is his first showing here is You're Damned.
Well, hello, everybody.
Hello, and welcome to the show, You're Damned.
Thank you.
You're welcome. And join us also tonight as our special guest, and I completely forgot because I am such a, I've been so damn busy, and I am such a damn goof that I forgot to put a mention out there for him. But he's joining us for the show tonight, and he reminded me, actually. That would be the Closet Atheist. Give him a warm applause. Yay, Closet Atheist.
Thanks, true unbelievers.
Yes. Since I forgot to make a video, at least we can give him some applause.
I'm going to do the slow clap.
Yeah, right, Joe. Okay. He deserves more than the slow clap. But you don't want to get the clap. Never mind.
Packard, you said we wouldn't talk about that.
Well, the doctor told me to tell you, you know.
And now I've had to tell everyone else.
Oh, the testosterone.
Anyway. All right, well, let's get going to our first topic for this evening.
Building a better future, science and technology.
Now, if you head out there and you have bad breath, and you know you just generally take like a Clorets or something to take for it, well, that bad breath could actually be telling you something. It could be telling you that you might have a problem with your heart. There is a study that's out in Cleveland. It's being conducted in Cleveland. The clinic found that a simple breath test can determine whether the patient is going to have heart failure or has heart failure. Dr. Ray Dwellick, a pulmonologist at the clinic, analyzed the breath and studied the patients who exhaled into a deflated balloon, found the difference between those with heart failure and those without. Now, the problem here is that if you get the doctor on a bad day, he's going to make you blow up a whole bunch of balloons, and then you're going to be at his party going, is the test done yet? No, the test isn't done yet. Keep blowing them up. No, actually, he says that because of the bacteria that's in the breath that's and the molecules that are in there, he can test for this. And now they're going to be also testing for, hopefully in the future, maybe for other diseases, liver or kidney functions. And it may be at some point, because this is a non-invasive test, that you could actually be able to do this at home at some point. And so you'd be able to blow up a balloon, send it in, and see if your party favors are in. No, that's different company altogether. Joe, your thoughts?
This is a clever idea to come up with. When I first read breath test, I thought, how can that tell you anything except that you've been drinking? Uh-huh. But the article says a lot of things that can affect the composition of breath, and their studies have found that the difference in breath between those that are experiencing heart failure and those that are not.
All right.
So I think that's just really clever.
Anything else?
No, that's it.
Okay. Crystal, you're the one that found this story. tell us a little bit more about this. I mean, since you're the nurse on the show, what do you think about this? What's your thoughts?
Well, you actually covered it pretty well yourself. This is really fascinating because our breath is actually it's like a fingerprint. It's unique to us, and nobody else is going to have the same breath print, per se.
Wow, I never thought of it about it like that.
Right. It's not unheard of. You've probably heard of cases of people being pulled over in the car, or you've seen people that you thought were drunk, mm-hmm. and it comes to find out that they're actually like diabetics with very high blood sugars, and you're smelling, like, you smell the fruit, it smells like alcohol on their breath, when it's actually the ketones that they've accumulated. It's, you know, toxic, it's making them sick. So I'm really kind of surprised that this hasn't really happened sooner. It's very fascinating because they were able to correctly diagnose heart failure among newly hospitalized patients with 100% accuracy.
100% accuracy.
Wow. 100% accuracy. So this is really, I think there's a lot of room for other things that they're going to be able to diagnose from. This is it talks more about this being more of the home setting, mm-hmm. and kind of being able to maybe even prevent people from going into heart failure. So
cool.
This is really exciting, considering that about 5 million Americans suffer from heart failure, and roughly 550,000 people are diagnosed with heart failure every year.
You know, the best part is they take all the extra breath and they fill party balloons with it, right? No.
Well, I was wondering if there was like a little bit of gas in those balloons and made people a little happy. But, you know, fascinating work. I'm really excited to see what this is going to turn into. I think it's going to be a really great thing.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And making balloon animals gives me heart failure.
I can never get those things to fill up. I pull on them. They just
you got to use the little balloon pumps.
Oh, that's a balloon pump. Well, there you got a pump for everything now. totally different pump.
Interesting factoid. Both of those pumps are interchangeable.
Personal experience, Joe? Dave, your
thoughts. Read it on the bathroom wall somewhere.
Dave, your thoughts.
No, I think this is a really good idea. It's like you can take saliva from people now and you can get the human genome and figure out all sorts of different things about uh-huh. what our diseases are. Ultimately, the future of medicine is really being able to diagnose something early on as cost effectively as possible and as efficiently as possible.
Uh-huh. And, yeah, definitely. If you could just take this and put it into a box or something, and after you've filled it up and then send it in, you know, then that would be so much cheaper than having to actually even to go down to the clinic. You can get your results right through the mail.
Could do it at home, and it would be way more cost efficient. It'd be easier for every person in the world to be able to test themselves for something. And, I mean, that's the future of medicine, is being able to home diagnose.
Yep. Absolutely. And the nice thing is that you don't have to blow up the party balloons later on. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Dylan, what are your thoughts on this?
Well, this is the first I've actually heard of this. It sounds quite, you know, pretty miraculous, really. Uh-huh. And like the other guys have said, I can see a lot of it being progressed further into other areas of medicine. And I see, you know, a lot of advancement coming out of this one technique. And I think it's fantastic.
Mm-hmm. Anything else?
No, I think everyone else has covered it pretty well, really.
Oh, okay. Cool. All right, let's get on to our next story. Speaking of new technologies, if you've ever seen the $6 Million Man, and I've mentioned this before, that he had to, they had a spinoff, the $6 Million Woman. And one of the things that they did with her is they gave her a bionic ear. Now, we have that available. It didn't cost millions of dollars, and it won't cost you millions of dollars. But with this bionic ear, they can plant it right into the cochlea, of the body, and you could be able to pick up sounds that most people will not be able to pick up, like, well, maybe the sounds that dogs hear, for example. We were kind of talking about this before the show, and not to bring religion into this, but if this was God's perfect creation, why is it we were able to make it even better? Sorry, whoever said that, I stole your line. but we can now print out, because we can print out humans' ears, and we've talked about 3D printers, and this is a perfect example of the technology of using 3D printers here. This is so interesting. Now, since it can detect radio frequencies far beyond the human range, maybe we'll have to be able to do away with iPods and iPhones and things like that, because we can just pick up radio waves right there. So if someone says, "I can hear radio waves," well, check to see if they're wearing one of these new ears. I'm going to get mine next week. No, actually, they – but if they do, I'm going to have mine look like a Vulcan. So this way I'm, you know, I pointy everywhere I go. Just kidding. Joe, your thoughts?
Yeah, we need Medusa on to cue the Bionic Woman theme song. Because, you know, the Bionic Woman had the artificial ear that could hear faint sounds. This article mentions that cybernetics is a growing interest in science.
Yes.
And I read once in a futurist article that a century from now, humans having some sort of technology as part of their body will be pretty regular, won't be uncommon.
Right.
And this kind of science is helping the blind see, the deaf hear. And pretty much everybody knows somebody that has a pacemaker, so we're kind of living that future already.
Right. Absolutely, absolutely. And the nice thing, the interesting thing is, I think also, Joe, is that they're using a team called bioprinting and hydrogel. It's using the computer program to break down the structure of the ear into thin slices. I mean, you know, if they're going to break it down into slices, I hope they put a nice spread with it, because then it makes it taste better. I'm just kidding. Crystal, your thoughts?
Again, just fascinating that this is a 3D printed ear. I mean, how cool is that?
Yes.
We've got a lot of technology that we're just starting now that's really, I think, just in the next probably even 5 years or so, that we're going to see this just implemented in a whole lot of different ways. And like Joe said, it's going to benefit some blind people. It's going to benefit the deaf people. I am just thrilled. This is just an exciting time in medicine and technology too. I'm going to leave God out of it. But, you know, this is the fully functional organ with the embedded electronics, which would be the first one. Mm-hmm. And they do say that it's a while before it's going to be able to be used on a real patient. But
right.
I believe it's got such promise that I believe it's going to be stepped up. I think we're going to see it sooner than they think.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. You know, and I could see them because it says when they're growing the ear, they actually grow the electronics into the ear as it's growing, which with most patients and most everybody else, if you have to have something electronic put into your body or something, they have, you know, have to cut you open, and then, you know, then they leave bad scars. And especially with something like this, and since the ear is so delicate as it is, then they're not going to have to dig into it and then to plant it on once it's on the outside, you know, around the ear there. If there's any seams, as it were, they will be virtually indistinguishable. Dave, your thoughts?
Why are we all avoiding bringing God into it?
I'm not avoiding. I brought it up just Medusa.
I mean, seriously, like, we're talking about, like, intelligent design.
Yes.
We're moving towards that sort of civilization, though, that futuristic world where we eventually will have the ability to do all of these different medical things.
Uh-huh.
Whether that's a good thing or a bad thing, I have no idea. But that's ultimately what we eventually are going to work towards and possibly achieve if we're not stopped by people who think that the ear is perfect how it is.
Right, exactly.
Even though we have the potential to improve upon it.
Right. You know, and the thing is, I think in that instance, if they were trying to try to stop the improvement on the ear, then they would. Then they could make. We could make the same argument for the ear as we are giving the fact that we give people new legs, and prosthetic legs and prosthetic arms, so they can actually get out there and have a life. So if anybody wants to use
Well, praying's not going to get you there.
Oh, yeah, definitely not. That's definitely not going to get you there. That's for sure. Dylan, your thoughts?
It actually reminds me a lot of – have you guys seen The Fifth Element, the movie The Fifth Element?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it reminds me a lot of that, you know, how they reconstruct out of the same sort of 3D printing technology. It just reminds me a lot of that.
Oh, yeah.
They
said some of her cells and her bone marrow were still alive, and they were able to recreate her entire body from that.
Right.
Yeah, just reminds me of that. But, yeah, Dave raised a good point about, you know, how people might stand up against it being, you know, that they obviously see that, you know, it is an improvement, but – but also, you Packet have made a good point that we can make the same argument for prosthetics and all those sorts of things.
Absolutely.
So I think it's a fantastic idea.
Yeah.
You know, again, you can see a lot of development coming into other areas with it.
Absolutely. You know, the thing is, though, if we start rebuilding a whole person like that, let's leave the strip of clothing off so this way we can see. I'm just kidding. I want to see what they're growing. Just kidding. Just kidding. All right, well, let's get into our next topic for this evening.
Please don't reveal the secret ending to your friends. Don't spoil the big surprise. You won't believe your eyes.
Tonight, we're going to be covering Iron Man 2? 1? No, 3! We're covering Iron Man 3! Yes, there's 3. Most videos, when they get to the third iteration, or sometimes even just the first iteration is bad enough. Police Academy.
Hey, now, Police Academy 6 was kind of okay. No, it wasn't.
Yeah, yeah, if you were in a coma. Anyway, the Iron Man 3, I got a chance to watch this. So did several other people here on the show. You know, I watched some other reviews on this, and they talked about how the Mandarin had some kind of rings or whatever. And I looked this up, and he's supposed to have special powers with this ring. I'm sorry, if you haven't seen the movie, turn off the spoiler alert. These are spoilers. So, but the thing is, in this, they didn't cover the power rings that he had. They were left it out for some reason. I have no idea why they left it out. But you know what? I don't think the story needed it. I mean, the story is just introducing the concept of the Mandarin. I mean, I didn't know that much about the bad guy in this case. So, personally, I didn't miss anything. I thought the fact that he was able to fucking breathe fire was kind of cool in itself. But overall, I think they did the right thing without leaving all the extra stuff. I mean, in some cases, yeah, I've seen movies where I was like, yeah, I wish they had included this, or they kind of pushed the storyline a little too fast. But in this instance, I think they did the right thing. Joe, your thoughts?
I didn't like this movie. I thought it was a piece. A friend of mine, Dele, she's a comic book guru, and she was all excited that the Mandarin was going to be the... I intentionally wrote up a review of this movie without mentioning this Mandarin thing, because it is such a spoiler, but you spoiled it, so I can talk about it now. She said to me, she's like, yeah, I saw it at the midnight showing, and I'm a little disappointed because of a bad decision they made in the story. Mm-hmm. I was like, all right, well, don't tell me. I'll go watch it, and I'll see what you're talking about. I'm sitting there like 3/4 of the way into the movie, and boom, there you see it. It turns out that the Mandarin isn't this supervillain. It's just Ben Kingsley pretending to be an actor, and it's such BS. It's like, oh, come on. Are you serious? Because Roger Ebert once said, and I think we mentioned this on the show before, that a good superhero is defined by his supervillain. And in this movie, they dropped the ball on the supervillain. They were able to come up with these characters that could heat up and shoot fire out of their mouths, but they couldn't come up with a way to explain the Mandarin having power rings. So they made him into an actor. It was terrible. I was very disappointed. Well,
I thought that was like kind of an interesting twist on it.
All right. Let's put that aside. Let's look at it from a different point of view. I'm sitting there watching this movie, and through most of the movie, Iron Man is running around without his suit on.
Yes.
Tony Stark's suit, most of the suits were buried in his house. The one he has is damaged very badly. It can't hold a charge for some reason. And he's running around with a gun and homemade weapons, breaking into mansions and shit. And I'm sitting there watching this, like, am I watching Iron Man? Like, what the fuck movie is this? So at the end of the movie, it's starting to wrap up, and I'm thinking to myself, like, man, I feel like I just watched Lethal Weapon 2. Like, I don't know why, but I'm reminded of Lethal Weapon 2.
I actually like that part where he's actually, he showed how innovative he was with just a few pieces of equipment. It shows his genius, actually, I thought.
Well, I mean, all right. So I go home. After I watch the movie, I go home. I look on Rotten Tomatoes, and Rotten Tomatoes, like, everybody's ranting and raving about the movie. Like, most people are like, oh, this movie is so awesome. I can't believe how good it was. I'm like, yeah, you're the same people who like the Transformer franchise. So I start looking for the bad reviews, and somebody says, anyone who let me find this guy's name. Yeah, Shane Black. They said anyone familiar with Shane Black's work will often feel a sense of deja vu. So I'm like, Shane Black? What? Who the heck is that? So I go look it up. There's this big controversy. Jon Favreau directed the first two Iron Man movies. And then he dropped out of directing Iron Man 3. And people were like, why would you walk away from the franchise? Like, we need you to finish this. Like, you know? And he's like, listen, he said this in an interview. He's like, Disney offered me the chance to direct a new theme park ride, and I can't pass up that opportunity. Wait, what? So they got this guy, Shane Black, to direct the movie, and he's only directed two movies before. Kiss Kiss Bang Bang and Iron Man 3.
Oh, jeez.
Outside of that, he's a screenwriter. What is he known for? He wrote Lethal Weapon 2.
Oh, we all know. And Lethal Weapon 2 was not the greatest.
Lethal Weapon 2 was decent. I liked it. I grew up watching that movie. I had it on a VHS tape.
Well, there was
it's because it's entertaining. I mean, that's ultimately
they
the question.
They fuck you in the drive-thru.
It's good. It's entertaining, right?
Right, yeah. I mean, Iron Man 3 was entertaining, but I was kind of disappointed from a comic book movie point of view, you know?
Sure. Yes. I mean, personally, I'm not a comic book guy, but I do like cinema. I didn't think it was a great movie, but it was entertaining. I enjoyed watching it. It didn't fail me in a certain amount of time spent watching a film, you know?
Right. Yeah, I agree with you on that.
Which is basically, that's Lethal Weapon 2.
I will agree, like, I didn't feel like wow, I just wasted 2 hours of my life. But I wasn't as happy as I was with the first two Iron Man movies. There were a few points in the movie where I felt like, all right, this is kind of dragging. We got 2 hours and 15 minutes of Robert Downey Jr. running around and making shit from Home Depot.
No, I agree. Like, he's making shit from Home Depot. He's roughing it the whole movie. And he doesn't have a suit. He doesn't have shit.
This is how billionaires go camping.
He's the MacGyver of Iron Man.
The MacGyver of Iron Man.
Yeah, basically.
Just a quick question. Have you got a chance to see this movie there, Dylan?
I have, yeah. I've never been a huge fan of the Iron Man films. There's always been something lacking in them to me. I don't know what it is. I can't even pinpoint it. But I felt like this one sort of stepped up a wee bit. But at the same time, like you said, it's, you know, you stole my line, actually. I was going to say the exact same thing. He's kind of the MacGyver of the Iron Man world. You know. So that sort of lost a bit of impact for me. But it was all right. I didn't mind it.
That's cool. Did anybody else have any last comments on this before we move on?
Crystal's like, I was going to watch it, but you've gone and spoiled the whole damn thing for me.
Damn you.
Yeah, I'm sure, Crystal, you're a big Tony Stark fan, huh?
Robert Downey Jr. fan.
Yeah, well, yeah. Yeah.
She thinks he's hot.
Hot.
Spelled
H-A-W-T. He's hot.
He's hot.
He's hot. The things she would do to him.
That's a show all by itself.
Yes. Let's not even get into that, all right? All right, well, let's get on to our next topic for this evening. If you're out in the real world, well, I live in this box. It's called the internet. No. If you're out in the real world and you come across something like, say, I don't know, the police decided to fuck with somebody and you have your cell phone handy and you start recording it, do not tell the police that you're recording it. Even though it is legal for you to record the video, don't tell them you're recording it, because there's a woman that she told the police that she was filming them. After a fatal encounter between six police officers and one guy, they beat the shit out of him. They kicked him and they clubbed him. And about an hour afterwards, the man died. Police showed up at their door, confiscated without a police warrant their cell phones, and they just said, "Okay, well, you have to give us your cell phones." No, you don't. You don't have a warrant. And they didn't know they didn't need a warrant, or that the police needed a warrant rather. And when they got the phones back, one of the phones had been, the video had been deleted from the phone. So if you are out there and you see something like this happening and you record something like the police are doing, something screwing up, upload that video immediately, if at all possible. I mean, or save it to an offline site off of the phone, because if someone gets a hold of your phone or the cop walks up to you and rips the phone out of your hand, there's no saving that footage. Now, when the police, if someone has footage of the police screwing up, and the cop, we use the same technology the cops would use against us. So this way, if they do something wrong, we can go say, here it is. This is exactly what they did. Joe, your thoughts?
Yeah, this is just crazy. I've shot video with my own phone, and I've tried to email it to myself just to get the clip off my phone. Mm-hmm. And I've gotten messages like, clip is over 20 megabytes, get on Wi-Fi. And I thought, wow, what if I really needed to get the video off my phone in a hurry?
Right.
Like if a cop was trying to take it from me. And the police do go after people who are filming them. I mean, just look on YouTube. There's countless videos of police harassment on YouTube. And absolutely, you see the cops turning to the camera person being like, you better not be filming me. And, you know,
yep.
In this case, the police came to their homes and demanded the phones.
Yeah. Now, that was a bit weird.
Yeah. So I don't understand that. I mean, they gave up their own phones. They had no warrant. So if the police knock on your door and they don't have a warrant, you can just not open the door and tell them to get off your property.
You can pretty much. You can say, hey, you got a warrant? Well, then you come back with a warrant and then I'll give you the phone. Mm-hmm.
As soon as I'm done uploading this.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. You know, and the problem there is when you say it's to get on the Wi-Fi, for one, is that if you're trying to upload it, in many cases, because it's the cell signals in that case. The cell companies, they don't want you to hog all the bandwidth. Otherwise, you would be uploading pictures or videos from your phone all the time. But I think there should be maybe something built into the phone, so you can say, "Oh, this is," or work with the cell companies that we can, so we can do this. I mean, sure, if it costs us a little bit more, go for it. But we should be able to do this. I mean, this is sometimes important shit that's going on out there, and we need to be able to see what the hell is going on.
Mm-hmm.
Crystal, your thoughts?
Bad story. You know, I read several articles into this because they really weren't clear. So apparently this guy was intoxicated and then they were called out to that and he was resisting arrest.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, it was like minutes of beating and kicking, and then finally the guy goes unconscious and then they do CPR. Well, we all know that brain death can occur within like 5 minutes of not having any oxygen, and apparently this guy was anoxic and they wouldn't have gotten him back anyway. I think the woman said that in an attempt to get them to just stop.
Right.
You know, beating him. And I think I would have done the same thing. Hey, I'm filming your ass, you know, just to get him to stop. She saw the guy was in trouble. You know, and the boyfriend of the daughter,
mm-hmm,
of the lady also was filming it. And this is the cell phone, apparently, that the footage is missing from.
Right.
The Supreme Court's already said that filming the police is legal. You're totally within your right. But I do see where she was coming from,
mm-hmm,
in trying to stop it. I think it was just a matter of, just stop it. You know?
Yeah, no, mm-hmm, no, I completely agree with you. The only problem with it is that the police don't care. They don't give a shit. They say, you say, well, I'm filming you, and they're going to go, fuck you, I don't care. I'm the fucking cops. I can fucking speed, and who's going to pull me over, huh?
Right. The sheriff turned around and said that the phones were seized as evidence of his deputy's conduct, and that he gave them to the Bakersfield police, and then, of course, they were now turned over to the FBI.
Yeah.
So he's trying to say that I'm trying to say that my deputies were in the right.
Yeah.
And the bad part about it is it's a race now. What are you going to do?
Yeah, if the police, the thing is that with the technology that the FBI has, they can clone that phone, and they can freeze the, well, it's not exactly a real hard drive, but it's close to a hard drive on there. It's a digital hard drive. They can freeze the phone so nothing else gets put onto it. They can put it in airplane mode so no new data gets added to the phone, and then they can piece back together the information that's on that phone. So it's a very long process.
Yeah, I was going to say that now that the FBI has the phones, they can actually recover. They're in the best position to recover deleted files.
Right. And hopefully that they do.
I suspect they will.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're really good at that.
Yes.
I suspect they will.
Dave, your thoughts?
My thoughts are that I don't understand why they would have seized the phone had there not been something on there for them to seize in the first place. I mean, I don't think that they're just seizing a phone that doesn't have some sort of content on it that they want.
Mm-hmm. I think that's what the whole point is, why they exactly...
I think they erased something that was on that tape, and I think that they were in the wrong in what they were doing.
Right. You know, that's evidence tampering. You know,
that is evidence tampering. I suspect that the FBI will find something on those cell phones. I mean, there's two cell phones and two different people who are saying that they were filming.
Right.
I suspect that the FBI is going to be able to recover something. Whether or not we'll hear about it in the future or they release that, who's to say? But
right. I hope they are able to recover, because this, according to the video, I was watching the other cell phone video that was uploaded, And it was from earlier this month at 1 a.m. apparently. So this is fairly recent.
I saw a surveillance video that...
Is that what the surveillance video is?
It was a surveillance video that they had released.
Okay.
And that was pretty conclusive that someone was getting beaten pretty severely.
Yeah, that video was hard to watch because it wasn't out of focus, but it was just because it was nighttime and
it was a difficult video to watch. Yeah.
Yes.
It wasn't a great angle.
Right. And if it wasn't for that, I think they would have been busted on that just on that alone, but the video is very sketchy. You can't see any faces. You don't know who's
you have to. You have to upload it to YouTube as quickly as you possibly can if you've got something like that. I mean, what I don't understand is they made it home with their cell phones. The police came and seized the cell phones at their home. It's not as though they weren't within Wi-Fi range. They should have uploaded that to YouTube or something like that.
Well, some people are not really technically inclined, Dave.
Well, I'm not either.
Right,
I'm
exactly.
I'm not either, but I understand the concept of, like, uploading something to YouTube.
Yeah, well, some people don't know how to do that. I mean, it took me a little – I'm fairly technically inclined to go, that's how you do that. Okay, so it takes – I don't explore all the options on the cell phone. So in some cases, some people don't.
Yeah, but if you've got some sort of footage of the police doing something that's completely inappropriate.
You think you would be backing that up right away.
You'd be trying to do something. Putting forth effort.
Right. They may – you know, there's a possibility that they may have actually been trying to do that. They may have gotten home not too long ago, and they were talking about it. You know, people get they talk and they forget. Well, I got to get this stuff off the phone because they figure, you know, the cops are going to come knocking on my door.
That's completely possible.
They just kind of put it off. Said, "Oh gosh, what should we do with this video?" You know, and they were discussing it. And the cops go, "Hey, we want your cameras." Okay, you know, so
yeah, no, sure. I'm just saying what. I think it's the most plausible situation.
Oh, yeah, no, yeah, no, but there's a lot of – we don't know the full details, but once we do know the details, we'll know exactly why they didn't upload it later or sooner than later, but sooner would definitely be more advantageous in this instance. Dylan, your thoughts?
I feel like I'm just copying what everyone else is saying, but, you know, you're making exactly the same points that I would. You know, like Joe said, there's a shocking amount of this kind of footage on YouTube of police harassment. It's terrible.
Yes.
And, you know, they wouldn't have seized it if they weren't trying to hide something. You know, guilty people don't run. It's that same old thing.
Right.
I mean, I haven't had any kinds of these experiences myself, but it's really concerning to think that these people who are made out to be heroes and we're told from such an early age that they're not scary and they're there to help you. And then on the other hand, there's all this content that speaks to the contrary. And a lot of the time they get away with it because of their position as law enforcement officers, you know.
Right.
So it's all, you know, it's really saddening and concerning.
Right, yeah. Let's just say for shits and giggles, not even a giggle in this instance, let's just say that the police, the FBI is unable to recover the video off this, and then these sheriff's deputies are going to go, hey, we got away with it. You know, what's the word? Then the word gets out through their grapevine. They go, all you got to do is, man, hey, just take the phone from them. And don't, you know, most of them don't know their rights anyway. We'll just erase it. Most chances they won't be able to get it back.
Mm, exactly. Yeah. It's really scary.
It is really scary. And the fact is, you know, that the police do shit with impunity. And they know they can do it with impunity. And they're doing it all the time. You just watch your local police. You're just driving down the street. Go the speed limit. Especially if you're going and then you're got a cop coming up here. Doesn't have his lights on. And just watch him just whiz right on by you. And he'll be going 5 to 10 miles over. And who's going to pull him over? Really?
Yeah, exactly. I've seen that 100 times myself.
Yeah. And it's not uncommon because they think they're above. They are the law, so they're above the law.
So they're above it. Exactly. Yeah.
So it's a sad, sad situation. But let's move into a situation that's not quite so sad, but a little bit more funny. A lady, she was a little bit upset that she broke up with her guy. And, well, she decided to do the only logical thing. She stalked herself. Stalking is not a fun situation for anybody because I've been stalked. I know it's not fun, but and women have to deal with this shit all the time. In this instance, the woman, she stalked herself. She had set up a fake Facebook account in order to get the lady that her ex got involved with to make it look like she was harassing her. So she set up this account and she would post all these fake hateful messages, and then she was writing messages that she suddenly attacked to the door so that she was going to turn in later. And they said, okay, let's take a look at your computer. And, well, lo and behold, the message you sent out, the message you got came from you. So if you're going to try to get your ex back, this is the wrong way to do it. Go out to the beach with somebody else that looks really hot, and even if it's a cardboard cutout, and go, hey, see what I got now? Uh-huh. Yeah. It's a cardboard cutout, but it looks better than you. Uh-huh. So, you know. But this is the wrong way to do it. Don't do this. This is you make yourself not only look silly, but you make yourself look desperately stupid. Joe, your thoughts?
I cyberstalked you, Packard, and you put me on a podcast. I mean, we all deal with these problems in different ways.
Keep your friends close, but your enemies closer.
Now, as far as her, she wasn't faking. Her name is Cheryl Nelson of Grand Rapids, Michigan. She likes cats, yarn craft, and playing Farmville. I've been stalking her for months. Actually, she is kind of computer ignorant if she thought she could cyber stalk herself and pass it off to the police.
Yes.
I mean, Packard, am I correct to assume that the cops would know how to determine the IP origins of other accounts on Facebook?
Yeah, well, it's not hard because they have to get a warrant. They have to present it to Facebook, and then they actually have to present it to the ISP. The Facebook, then the ISP, and then the ISP will go back to their computer.
I'm sure Facebook gets thousands of these requests all the time from the police. Yeah. I don't see any reason why Facebook wouldn't comply because it's a criminal act.
Right.
So well, she got herself caught.
They comply on Catfish or whatever that show is, right?
Yeah, probably. Probably. Crystal, your thoughts?
What a dumbass. I mean, you know, you're like, women might think like this, but she like really went all out here. 8 complaints filed to the police, which has landed her a felony charge for false reporting.
Yes.
Several.
The voices in my head just say wrong, wrong, wrong. Yeah, don't do it.
The voices in my head see eat mayonnaise with impunity, but that I get annoyed those.
mayonnaise is good on a BLT.
Yes. but you're right. You're right, Crystal. This is you're right. She's a dumbass in this instance. I mean, the things that people go through for love or for whatever, you know, it's just kind
of
crazy.
I can almost see like maybe doing one time, you know, just kind of get it out of your system, and I think maybe the police may be able to roll their eyes and like let her go. But 8 times.
Yeah.
You know, it just kept she needs some help.
Yeah, she definitely needs help. Don't do this, people. Really don't. Dave, your thoughts.
It speaks poorly of my state. I don't know. I'm in Michigan. Grand Rapids is not very far from me. I've watched Catfish. Mm-hmm. This is like Catfish to the extreme. This is like if you're taking it to a whole nother level of stalking yourself and like making police reports and creating all this drama around yourself. That's pretty delusional.
Yes.
I don't know.
You know, it's almost like she's taking playing a victim to the next level.
Mm-hmm. She is, isn't she?
Yes.
I mean, she's really like very much so taking on that victim role and creating a whole world around that for herself.
Hail hath no fury like a woman scorned.
Or with
that's,
a woman with a
that's right.
Or
that's
with a woman with a computer that knows how to stalk herself.
Yeah.
Or doesn't know how to stalk herself.
Yeah, or does not.
Right.
Not effectively, anyway.
Yeah. There's a right way and a wrong way, and there's this way.
Yeah. Definitely. Dylan, your thoughts?
Oh, well, there's only one word for it, really. Idiocy.
Yes.
I hadn't realized that she'd done it 8 times. I thought it was just the once. And I thought maybe that's you know, a bit of an over-the-top reaction for just once, you know.
Yeah.
But 8 times, I can understand that you know, there would be cause for alarm there. But yeah, I think she definitely needs some help. She's got some attachment issues going on there that need to be dealt with.
Yes.
I think she needs to, you know, get over him, find someone new, maybe in the mental ward. Who knows?
Yeah. Maybe she can find her new boyfriend on Facebook. By the way, I'm going to stalk you and make you think I'm stalking myself, you know. You know, this takes masturbation to a whole new level because, you know, if you're – there's one thing to love yourself, but to love yourself via the internet like this is – that's a whole new situation.
It goes beyond playing with your body to playing with your own mind.
There that's right. That's a whole new the mental masturbation.
Oh, man. It's narcissism.
It's called a mind fuck, y'all.
Now, this is a serious mind fuck that's going on here. Yeah, but you're right. She really needs to move on. This is, please, don't do this. This is, you're just going to make yourself look like an idiot. Speaking of idiots, let's move on to our next topic for this evening. A Disney worker. Now, what does this have to do with religion? Well, this Disney worker was watching porn at work while he was writing a sermon. And the thing was, he was not just looking at any particular porn. He was looking at child porn. You know, a lot of people put a lot of faith in their priests. And you know what? I think it's misguided, for one. And two, I don't think you should trust anybody that's think that religious to begin with. First off, his name is Cleric Eugene Cuthbert. He's a pastor of the historic St. James African Methodist Episcopal Church in Sanford. He's been working for Disney for more than 7 years before his arrest. And then shortly after they arrested him, he was fired. And he was doing his surfing while he was at work. And the Disney people, because, you know, they have technology, they took a picture of the screen every 3 seconds. So if you think you're going to be able to slip a picture in there before they take that snapshot, you're fooling yourself. Joe, your thoughts?
Yeah, the tweet of God recently said that he said that the problem isn't people that don't practice what they preach. The problem is preaching.
Yeah,
and I thought that was hilarious, and yes, that applies here because this guy is a Methodist pastor. I sometimes joke with people about them watching porn on a work computer, and this joke is intended to be over the top because by now everyone should know that you can't get away with that shit. Most employers, especially a big employer like Disney, would have some kind of net nanny service to monitor employees' internet activity. This includes keystroke monitoring. Like, if you're going to write like a little message to somebody on the internet, they're gonna see it.
Right.
It doesn't matter what website you're on. This guy was on YouTube and he was trying to contact teenage girls.
Yeah, and I didn't know apparently they had porn on YouTube. I didn't even know there was pornography on YouTube.
I thought that's an exaggeration.
I thought they got rid of that all the time. Like, I thought they regulated that.
Yeah, I think it's supposed to be regulated. Yeah. Crystal, your thoughts?
I don't have any sympathy or anything for child pornographers. So I'm going to give Disney the kudos here, though. I mean, it seems like that they're on top of monitoring this stuff, and I don't know why this dude would think something as big as Disney, he could get by with this. You know, I mean, that's how he got caught, was trying to log into blocked websites, and the employee relations manager called him. I don't know. I mean, you know, if he's doing that, he's probably done a lot worse, and he just needs to go into jail and just don't get out.
Yeah, you know, you picked up on something there where it says he tried to access several blocked websites. You know what? I don't know what was going through your head. You're at your work computer. You type in www.porn.com, and it goes, "Hey, you're not supposed to be here." Oh, okay. I'll go to www.porn2.com. Let's see if that one's blocked. Oh, I guess that one's blocked. Well, I'll just keep doing until maybe find what they didn't block, you know. But
how many times are you going to ping the net nanny before the IT guy gets that text message to his phone and he's like, "All right, who the fuck is doing this shit?"
The happiest. Well, it is the happiest place on earth, you know. He just wanted to be a little extra happy. I'm sorry. His whole idea of happy was a whole other issue. Dave, your thoughts?
He was writing an Easter sermon. while he was watching child porn. There's, I mean, there's just nothing that you can do to make that okay in any sense.
And you know what the thing was? He was looking up John chapter 13, verses 1 through 35.
Yeah.
The washing of the feet and the whole nine yards.
Right. No, he was pretty deep into, I don't know, something crazy there. But ultimately, like, I have to get, I don't give Disney credit most of the time, but I'll give them credit right now and say, like Joe was saying, they do regulate that stuff. And what the articles that I had read had said is that they take screenshots every 3 seconds of employees' computers. Yeah.
That's pretty hardcore.
Yes, it is.
That they do that.
That's a lot of hard drive space to save up.
That's really good. I mean, I have to commend Disney on that and say, like, they are up on making sure that people are not looking up inappropriate things on their computer during work time.
Right. Yeah, I agree. You know, and the thing is,
but this guy had been working for them for how long? Like,
7 years.
Like,
seven.
What was it?
7 years. He'd been working there for 7 years.
I mean, that's a long time to be there. Was this an isolated situation, or did this happen multiple times? Do we know?
It was multiple times, apparently, because he tried to access several blocks.
So
block
why didn't they stop him the first time?
It may have just, he thought, well, I've done all this other stuff on the internet. Maybe, I can get away with it. This go to
the
one more
step
further.
I think he got to the point where he was just so comfortable at work that he thought he could just do whatever he wanted.
Yep.
I think, Joe, you're right.
Yeah, I agree with Joe on this one, absolutely.
I do as well.
Yes. And the thing was, what the interesting thing is, because after Disney found out that he was trying to access child porn, they fired his ass. Now, the Catholic Church...
That's good.
Why doesn't the Catholic Church, when they find out someone has diddled with a kid, why don't they fire them instead of shuffling them around?
Because if they shuffle them around, they don't have to admit that they actually had a problem.
That's true. That's true. But they do have a problem. They know they have a problem, but they need to come out with it. Dylan, your thoughts?
Well, do we know if he knew about the 3 second screenshots?
I don't know. Maybe he thought it was the 3 second rule where he picks up off the floor, he could still eat it.
I was just wondering. I mean,
if he does it, if he does it for just 2 seconds at a time.
Yeah, he does it for 2 seconds at a time.
Well, now every employee of Disney knows about it.
Yeah, if they don't know now, then they don't know.
I just wondered because, you know, even if he didn't know about it, surely he would have realized that if he was going to look at inappropriate material anywhere, a computer at Disney would be one of the most likely places for him to get caught. You know, it seems completely stupid. So, yeah, my kudos go to Disney.
Yes.
You know, again, for catching him.
Yes.
And for being so vigilant, you know, that's brilliant.
Absolutely. And the thing was, he was also included in charges of possession of conduct of a child by soliciting a child for unlawful sexual conduct by using a computer services or devices. So he was
I didn't know that.
So that's why.
So he was chatting with them as well.
He was trying to get him to come over and say, hey, kitty, you want to come over here and give me a lap dance? You know,
that's
or
shit
like that. Yeah, it is. He sent him a private message saying, hey, you're cute. Actually, this is a quote. It says, you are so cute. Keep making vids. Send me a private vid longer. I'm a big fan of yours. And then he got to another video and said, nice find. Thanks for sharing. It's like, people like this just make my skin crawl. But anyway, speaking of skin crawling, let's get into our next subject. Our topic tonight for our discussion topic tonight is Draw Muhammad Day. With May 20th coming up on us, we have Draw Muhammad Day coming up. So if you're out there and you haven't drawn Muhammad for the 20th and you don't know how, you can't draw, well, then you just take a piece of paper, you know, any old piece of paper, you know, like this, for example. And then you draw a little head on it, like so. See, like this. And then you draw a line like this. And then you just draw little arms, little legs, like this. See that? That's a little, I don't know if you can see that. There you go. Little man like that. And then you write the word Mohammed. I've misspelled the name, but fuck it, you know. There you go. There's Mohammed. There you go.
Oh, look, it's my stick Mohammed.
So if you're out there and you're going to try to blow me up because I drew your Muhammad, well, fuck you. Really, fuck you. If you think the fact is that drawing Muhammad is a big sin in your culture, fuck you, because there's a lot of situations in your own history. There's a lot of images of Muhammad. So obviously it wasn't that big of a deal, and it's only been a big deal since around 2010 when South Park got on there and said, "Hey, we're gonna have a picture of a Muhammad on there." Well, we had to censor him. But actually, as I recall, there was an earlier episode of South Park that had a picture of Muhammad, and they were just he was sitting there in heaven or wherever they were talking to Jesus, and they didn't censor him out. And why? Because the Muslims at that time didn't give a shit, apparently, or they didn't know about it. So, draw Muhammad, just do it. There's a site on Facebook, it says Draw Muhammad Day. If you want to, do it, because beliefs don't deserve respect. Beliefs never deserve respect. Now, we're going to start the timer right now, and we're going to go round robin, and we're going to start with Dylan. Oh, I'm over here, actually. Here he goes. Wrong, there we go. Right hand.
No, Dylan's on the other side.
Yeah,
no,
my other right, my right hand. We're gonna set the time starting now. Dylan, go ahead. Your thoughts?
Ah, well, I think it's a fantastic idea. The thing is, getting enough people to you know go along with it, to follow it,
right?
Because you know there'll be a lot of fear associated with that. You know, it's unavoidable. A lot of people are going to feel afraid by the threats that these Islamist fundamentalists put out.
Right.
But, you know, as the whole idea of the thing says, if you get enough people to do it, how are they ever supposed to, you know, follow their own threats and, you know, bomb millions of people for
right.
Muhammad?
Right.
So I think it's fantastic. I'm going to be taking part in it.
Absolutely.
And that might actually be what my next video is about.
Great.
That's a good idea. You give me any topic. That's fantastic.
All right.
See, I'm searching for something to do. That's good.
Here's mine.
So yes, I think it's a great that's a great idea. And I'll be sharing that with as many atheists as I can find.
Absolutely. When you get your picture made up, send it to go to facebook.com and put your picture on at @PackardPokesAt and put your picture of Muhammad on our page. We want to see
I
your
will.
Picture. Yeah, and everybody else that's out there listening, if you got to draw Muhammad, even if you can't draw a stick figure like so, like this one, or find one, post it on facebook.com/PackardPokesAt and get it on there. Anybody else? Joe, your thoughts?
Me?
Yes.
Yeah, I've been participating in Draw Muhammad Day for a couple years now. I think it's a great idea. It started partly it started in reaction partly to the Dutch cartoons that uh-huh. came out and caused all the riots and everything.
Yep.
And also the South Park episode where they wanted to depict Muhammad, but Comedy Central censored them.
Right.
Drawing Muhammad, as you mentioned, is only a recently blasphemous act.
Mm-hmm.
In the 1980s, Gary Larson drew Muhammad in a Far Side cartoon.
Yeah.
And atheism.about.com has a whole gallery of European-produced drawings of Muhammad throughout history. And there's a blog called zombietime.com, which has an extensive archive of Muslim-drawn depictions of Muhammad, including some that are painted on the walls of mosques.
Mm.
And I've gone into that archive every year, and I've grabbed some of the best pictures of Muslim-drawn pictures of Muhammad, and I've tweeted them all over Twitter. And, you know, like, they only get crazy about it recently.
Yeah.
It's only a new thing. It's never been a thing before, like, you know, 3 years ago.
Right, exactly. Exactly. I have no idea what's caused it. I was like, hey, by the way, did anybody actually read this piece of shit? I mean, this book that says, hey, by the way, we're not supposed to draw Muhammad. We're not supposed to let anybody see Muhammad. Oh, my gosh. Why?
Stoning a woman to death is God's will, but drawing his prophet is a sin.
Yeah. That's
bullshit.
That's fucking,
bullshit.
It is bullshit. It really is. Crystal, your thoughts?
Well, I mean, I don't have a whole lot to say about this, guys. I mean, I know Joe's very well-versed in this, and I think he covered it quite well. I personally I don't participate in it. I just don't see the need to be disrespectful of somebody else's stuff. I don't believe in their culture. It's just like, whoever just brought the woman thing up was, anyway, precisely. Women are very little value, so no, I don't agree with anything that they really much teach. But I just don't see the need to, like, stir the hornet's nest and do it. So I just don't participate in it myself.
Hey, that's understandable. I mean, you're out there. You don't want to be associated with, you know, or be targeted by nut jobs. And I understand. Myself, I don't care. I'm surrounded by I'm surrounded by nut jobs every day. It's, but
you know, are right now.
Yeah. Yes, yes, we are. Dave, your thoughts? You got the last 2 minutes.
All right. Joe pretty much covered it. I mean, he gave the history of what Draw Muhammad Day is and what it kind of means. I like to say that I like to download the Quran, and I call it burning the Quran.
I don't
literally burn a Quran. I download the file, and you burn it to a disk. And
burn the disk.
Yeah.
You know what? I saw somebody do
that. You have a Quran.
I saw somebody actually do this. They took their iPhone. They put the Bible on there, a copy of the Bible on there, and then they burnt down the whole phone, which I thought was fucking stupid.
No, that's stupid. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about, like, burning the Quran or the Bible to a disk.
Right.
But
oh wait, it's still burning it. Oh, no,
everyone should read all of this. Is what my point is, and yeah. they should read all of it. And you can burn a Quran to a disk,
yeah,
and then pass it on to someone and have them read it. And they should.
Yeah, it really is. They really should. Anybody else have any last comments on this? We have like about a minute and a half left. We have a last minute submission here. My daughter drew this, so if you're gonna go after anybody, there we go.
Oh, nice.
There it is, right there. Stick figure Muhammad, and he's actually, you know, he looks like he's got a little, I suppose it's be his hips.
Ninja Muhammad.
He's under the sea. He's trying to find Nemo.
Yeah. I would like to add, any Muslims who are listening who want a fatwa against Packard Sonic, he lives in Wausau, Wisconsin.
Oh, thanks.
It's about a 3-day drive, well, maybe a day and a half drive from New York. So if you come into JFK, jump on I-80, head out west. When you get to Chicago, you're going to want to go north.
Thanks, Joe. Actually, that's where I just say I live. Actually, I live in Mattoon.
Hey, we can't talk about Muslims on this podcast if I don't call fatwa on you.
I call fatwa on myself. My daughter wants to get in the last 20 seconds here.
I was just going to explain my picture.
Okay, explain it.
Well, it's actually a skeleton of Muhammad, because apparently Muhammad is long dead, I think.
Yes.
And he's finding Nemo because he's under the sea.
Under the sea.
Life is better. Oh, down where it's wetter.
Right.
When jihad is wetter.
Muhammad.
And that is our time. Yeah, if you're out there, go to Packard Pokeset on Facebook. Go to facebook.com/PackardPokeset. Post your picture of Muhammad, drawn or found or otherwise. Please do it. And get it up there by the 20th. And
yeah, Monday the 20th is Draw Muhammad Day, so draw one and post it somewhere on social media.
Yeah, so post it anywhere. Post it on Twitter. Post it on Facebook. Post it on our site. Go to PackardPokeset.wordpress.com and post it in a messenger. Post a link to it. I'll post them up. I'll get them all together, and I'll even make a video and put it up on YouTube. Let's see them take that down.
I should draw Muhammad guesting on this podcast.
Well, you see, great. Packard, I was in this cave, and I was really sweaty, and God, he spoke to me. Peace be upon him.
Sure he was. All right, well, let's get into our next topic for this evening. Our funny tweet tonight comes from Cat Food Breath, and he says, "Give a cat a fish, it will eat for a day. Teach a cat to fish, and you'll spend a lot of money at Fish World restocking that tank."
Funny.
Oh, look at that. You don't want to teach your cat to fish at your tank, because you're going to come home and find the tank quite empty and the cat quite happy. Anybody have a quick comment on this, or ready to go on?
I thought it meant the restocking of fish at Fish World, but that it's restocking the fish at your house because your cat is fishing.
Right.
That's too funny.
That is funny.
All right.
Yes. Cat food breath.
Yes, cat food breath. You give him a follow. and tell them you heard them on the show. Okay, let's get into our shout-out for this evening.
Hey, you guys!
Our shout-out tonight comes from You're Damned! And he's giving out his first shout-out tonight for Skeptical Infidel. That's SkepticalInfidel. Skeptical Infidel. Dave, can you tell us about Skeptical Infidel?
He's an atheist, and he is...
I would have never guessed with a name like that.
Right. You would never.
No, I thought he was a fisherman. He's teaching cats how to fish.
Yeah. No, he's one of the few people that I've met on Twitter and actually met in real life, which makes him cool.
Oh,
yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, and he's an atheist friend that I've made, so...
Excellent.
Yeah.
I just followed him on Twitter.
Yes. And so, yeah, definitely give him a follow. If you're not out there on Twitter, why aren't you? Give Skeptical Infidel a follow. That's SkepticalInfidel. And tell him you heard him on the show. All right, let's get moved into our next topic for this evening. And our special guest tonight is, if you haven't already guessed... All right, that joke. All right, I'm going to retire that joke because it's a little old now. But I still love it. Our guest tonight is Dylan, the Closet Atheist.
Greetings, true non-believers.
There you go. And we loved the video we showcased here on the show several weeks ago. Your talk about... it was several weeks ago. I can't remember. I can't remember what I had for breakfast. But...
I think it was morality.
Yes, it was about morality. Mm-hmm. You have some very interesting videos. Can you just tell us a little bit more about that video and why you said you're just kind of doing kind of lazy and everything like that? But you actually did you actually put a lot of work into that one, didn't you?
Yeah, it must have taken me about an hour and a half maybe to put it together. But that day I just couldn't be bothered setting up a camera and all that sort of thing.
Mm.
So I just recorded it from my bed, really, just recorded the audio, put some pictures over the top of it. And then I thought, you know, it needs an intro, so I recorded a bit of an intro for it as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's how I'm doing the show. I'm in bed right now. I actually have some questions for you. Where did you get the name The Closet Atheist?
Well, it was just kind of a play on words, really. You know, a closet atheist being an atheist who doesn't express their views, whereas I express my views freely and openly, mm-hmm. except I do Woo-hoo! It while sitting in a closet. So.
Right. Oh, exactly. Have you always been an atheist, or did you fall out of religion?
I fell out of spirituality, really. I was never really religious, but my family were always, you know, sort of spiritual.
Mm-hmm.
I always believed in, you know, some sort of heaven, some sort of divine power, mm-hmm. that sort of thing. Until I started reading a lot of stuff to try and make compelling arguments to a Christian friend of mine.
Right.
Because, you know, although I wasn't an atheist, you know, I was trying to convince them that Christianity might not be as correct as they thought it was. And the more I read, the more I realized that there probably isn't a God at all. So, yeah.
Okay. Joe, did you have any questions for The Closet Atheist?
Now, you said you're from New Zealand?
Originally, yes. Now I live in Australia.
Oh, cool. Where in Australia do you live?
Sydney.
Sydney, okay. Cool. There's a lot of very internet-active atheists on the from Australia.
Oh, really? I haven't seen them.
Really?
Oh.
Well, that's why you need to get on Twitter.
Yeah, you need to be on Twitter because there are a lot.
Yeah, it's unbelievable down there.
It's pretty prevalent. I mean, Australia is one of the main places that I see atheists on Twitter from.
Mm-hmm. 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 I used to blame it on me just being awake all night and the time zone difference.
I thought that as well at first.
Yeah, but I've come to realize, no, there's just a lot of active atheists down in Australia who are all over the internet. There's Martin Pribble. There's Mr. Oz Atheist. There's tons of them.
Yeah, exactly. There's a lot of
check that out.
Yeah, it's a good scene over on Twitter. You should come join us. Come to the dark side.
Come to the dark side.
YouTube. Although you're going to get more famous on YouTube.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Yeah, what's that Twitter thing? You know, no one is actually on Twitter, you know?
It's only the nerve center of the internet.
Yeah, but Twitter's just directing shit to your other stuff, right?
Right.
That's how we justify it on right. Twitter.
So your name is The Closet Atheist, but you're actually out?
Oh, yes. Loud and
proud. Okay. Awesome.
What denomination were you raised in?
None, really. Just sort of spiritual.
Just sort of spiritual. General, so what did your parents believe? Or what did your parents tell you?
It's hard to think now. I'm not sure if they ever actually told me anything. They were pretty pretty liberal about it. They said I could believe whatever I wanted to believe.
That's awesome. That's the right way to do it.
Yep. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, they were very cool.
I think not what to think.
Yeah, my parents said I could believe anything I wanted to. So I said, for this week, I'm going to be a ham sandwich. But they kept trying. I said, well, you put some mustard on top of your head. But I didn't like my hair turn yellow. So I said, yeah, I think I'll just be myself for today.
I still believe you're a ham sandwich. I never left that belief.
Crystal, did you have any questions for our guest here?
Dylan, I just think you're very witty, and I really did enjoy your videos very much so. And we're glad to have you on the show.
Yes.
Thank you. It's great to be on the show. It's fantastic. Thank you.
Yeah, we kind of almost missed the fact that you're going to be on the show tonight because, I at the beginning of the show, I kind of screwed up. So I have another quick question here. How do you go about producing your videos? How do you edit your film?
I do all my stuff very basically with Windows Movie Maker.
Oh.
Just a very, very simple setup. Just Word. Sit my laptop on my desk and record in my closet, really. That's about it. I have a microphone set up because the microphone on the computer is not so great.
Oh, but yeah.
Other than that, just sync up the video and the audio and stick it all into Movie Maker. Put some pictures and some clips in there as well.
Yeah, there you go. Do you monetize your channel yet, or are you going to try to? Or
I want to. Yeah. Actually, after I got picked up by the Atheist Hub, they saw one of my videos and promoted it a bit. I've ended up with quite a few more followers, so I think I've got a bit more opportunity to do that now.
Oh yeah, absolutely. I had one of my videos get put on there. I went from 80 to 85. And then we were right back down to 82. So we're,
which means you have two loyal people hanging on there.
They're just holding on. So and they know who they are.
And I think I must have shot up to about 50. Yeah.
And I'm subscribed to your channel anyway. I mean, I hope everybody else out there is as well. I had another quick question for you. What inspires you to do your videos? I mean, is there a YouTube video that you watch and then you go, oh, hey, that's a good topic idea, and I'll make something on that? Is there any particular place that you get inspired by?
Essentially just that, yeah. I surf the vast ocean of religious idiocy, searching for something I can, you know, mm-hmm. pick apart and make fun of. Mm-hmm. And when I find something that's, you know, really grabs my attention as something completely stupid, I like to make a video about it.
No, oh, there you go. There's a lot of stupid videos on there. You know what the problem is? A lot of those stupid videos have lots of views. Like,
yeah, it's interesting that you say that, because I've noticed a lot of internet atheists, they get to a point where they just sort of run out of steam and they don't want to do it anymore. Mm-hmm. And what I've noticed is if you start to think, like, you know, I don't have anything else to say about this subject anymore, just go and pay attention to what the religious people are talking about. Go watch their videos, read their posts, read their blogs, and suddenly you're going to be inspired to say a whole lot more stuff.
Yeah,
absolutely. Yep, I found that myself.
Divine inspiration.
Divine inspiration.
Is, without a doubt, divine inspiration.
What do you do outside your YouTube persona? What do you do in the real world?
In the real world? Well, I've only recently moved to Australia, so I'm still actually looking for a proper job.
Oh, geez.
But I play quite a lot of music, and I've just got into a pretty successful little band over here. So I'm hoping.
Oh, so you're like in a music band? Are you the lead? Are you just a backup drummer? Or
I'm a bassist and keyboard player.
Oh, there you go. Awesome. Do you get to sing too, or
a wee bit? Yep, a wee bit.
Oh, that's cool. You know what's kind of weird? All right, this is going to sound kind of strange, but when people from other countries, they sing, they sound like they're Americans, and then they talk,
yes.
Well, they talk like you, and then they're like, wait, where's this voice?
They try to,
right. But then when we sing, we sound like we can't even speak the English language at all. It's like, oh, we're going to rock. What the fuck did they just say? We have no idea. Dave, do you have any questions for the Closet Atheist?
I thought I asked him questions earlier.
You might have. I don't know. I'm not paying attention.
It's all good. I can't think of anything.
Okay.
I think we've covered it.
Okay.
That's cool. That's easy.
We're all good, right?
Yeah. Is there any question from the chat room? Anybody? Someone wants to talk about the Energizer Bunny, but I don't think that's our topic tonight.
We were talking vibrators, okay?
Okay.
Is your username the Closet Atheist or Closet Atheist?
Yeah, there's when we did the shout out for you on the show. I was like, oh crap, I had it wrong, but I looked back in the channel, it says Closet Atheist and the Closet Atheist on both the things there. Which do you go by?
That's interesting. I assume the Closet Atheist. When I was looking for the name, I checked YouTube to see if anyone else had it, and someone else has Closet Atheist. So I had to make mine Atheist in Your Closet.
Oh yeah, that's Atheist in Your Closet.
It's Atheist in Your Closet, that's why I can't find it. Okay.
Yeah, there you go. That's Atheist in Your Closet, right?
Yeah.
So that's why I couldn't remember why I thought I had it wrong when I was doing my editing when I had you on the show that one day or when we reviewed your videos. Like, oh crap, I got this.
Ah.
There you go.
Found me.
Oh, good. Yeah. I'm so happy.
Yeah. So there'll be a link to his channel at packerpokes@wordpress.com. Before we get going here, does anybody else have any questions for the Closet Atheist? Yes? No?
Speak now, forever hold your peace.
That's right. Or scream at the podcast afterwards.
you did a video called The War on God. Now, yes. What kind of battle techniques do you use, and have you won many victories against God?
Well, I've won a couple, but that's not the essence of the video. The essence of the video is more the war on the word God, how people are afraid to say, oh my God, and for God's sake, and all that sort of thing. And,
so you're not actually fighting God in battle? That's what you're telling me?
I was going to give him an RPG for that, actually. I was going to send him a shit for my RPG.
Roll the 20-sided polyhedron die.
God plus one, Dylan plus 10.
I'll make sure that's when I send it to you, it's got the laser scope thing on there, so you can make sure you
yeah, right between the eyes.
Between the eyes. Yeah. All right. Well, Dylan, I want to thank you for coming and reminding me that I was going to have you on the show. I do apologize for not getting the word out sooner. Like I said, I have just been swamped with all kinds of stuff the last several weeks.
That's fine.
So, but I am so glad that you were able to make the show tonight, at least. And join us, and we are glad to have you here, and we'll have you come again as soon as we can.
I'd love to. Thank you so much for having me. It's been fantastic, and thank you for all your kind words.
You're very welcome. You do great videos, and I hope you keep up the good work. And if you run out of things to talk about, just watch this show, and you won't run out of things to talk about.
I'm sure I won't.
Or you can just make fun of us. You know, we do it. Why not? We make so much fun of ourselves that you might be able to go, see these guys? Yeah, right. That's all you have to say. That's all you have to say. All right. Speaking of making fun of ourselves, and if you want to make fun of us and you want to get in contact with us, we're going to tell you how to do that right now.
Would you like to contact us? We can be reached 28 hours a day, 8 days a week as PackardPokesAt on Twitter, and by email at PackardPokesAt@gmail.com. Your host, Packard Sonic, and his very honored and crazy co-host with occasional guest hosts who enjoy your comments or suggestions. You can also listen to the show on iTunes, YouTube, Mixler Radio, and Stitcher Radio. Click the like button on Facebook/PackardPokesAt to join in the conversation. While you're there, don't forget to snap on the Focus on Photography group. Please rate, comment, subscribe, retweet, and repost the show wherever you can. It really helps us out. Please donate whatever you can afford to help keep the show running. Visit PackardPokesAt.wordpress.com for more information on this or any other episode. We hope you enjoy the show. Thanks for listening and for your support.
And thank you, Joe. You're doing a really good job at that. You haven't missed a beat. It sounds the same every time you do it. What's your secret?
I think about you in your underwear while I say it.
So. Oh, jeez. Thanks, Joe.
It keeps me on the focus.
Was that not pre-recorded? That sounded pre-recorded.
I do it live every week, thinking about Packard in his underwear.
No, seriously. That was not pre-recorded? No, it was Am I being a gullible asshole right now?
He's in there. He's doing there with the keyboard and everything. He's singing it live.
Oh, come on.
You want me to do it again? I'll do it again. Yeah. Packard, hit play.
Oh, no. No, I don't want, no, no. I got it now. I get it. You assholes.
If you're not here at the show, in the live show, you're missing out. Really, you are. So if you want to come to the live show, go to vonlive.tv/PackardPokesAt on Friday nights at 9 p.m. and join us in the chat room. If you want to chat with us, you have to make a chat account. You have to make an account so you can actually chat with us. So
you just ruined the moment with all your advertising bullshit.
It has to be advertising. There's reasons for it.
Yeah, there's reasons for
it. No, I get it. I'm just saying.
Yeah, we have to, unfortunately. That's just one of those little things.
But he is right. The advertising makes it go back down.
That's right.
It does.
Anyway, if you want to also find the show, if you want to listen to the old past shows, they're on Mixlr Radio. That's at mixlr.com/Packard-Pokes-At. And you can listen to everything from the beta podcast all the way down to the most recent one. And it'll just play continuously. The channel is, as of tonight, is down because I have to do some rework because I'm having some technical issues I can't seem to overcome. So I need to do some reworking and try to figure what's going on. But it should be back up hopefully by sometime either on Monday or by Wednesday of next week. So if you're looking for it, it's not up. You can still leave comments if you like. But please hit the heart button or go to iTunes and download the show. And if you're on iTunes and you're downloading the show there, please make a comment and leave and rate the show, because that pushes up our YouTube our iTunes ratings, so we can get more people to listen to the show. And if you're watching the show on YouTube, please hit the like button and the thumbs up and post on the show there. So, but anyway, I want to thank everybody for coming and thanks for putting up with us tonight. This has been Packard Pokes At. We just poked at your news.
And that's a wrap.
Hey, kids! It's time again to talk about your favorite subject. Yay! Contradictions in the Bible. How long did it take for Jesus to get to heaven after the crucifixion? For as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. So this goes back to Jonah's 3 days in the fish, comparing it to the 3 days it took Jesus to ascend into heaven. But in Luke chapter 23, verses 42 through 43, "And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, Verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise." So according to this verse, Jesus is to be in paradise that same day. Did you like that, kids? Want to hear more?
Yay!
Sorry, but you'll have to wait until next week.
Oh.